joining us here. Happy Monday. Good morning. Maybe it's good afternoon if you're tuned in at 5:30. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day today here to tune in to Where God's Speaking. That is WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Let God be true and every man a liar. We're going to hear the second part of this message that just started on Friday, and it was an introduction to the book of Acts. I play some of these odd programs here during the week. I like to play what was just preached on Sunday at Island Community Church, and that's what you're going to hear tomorrow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, this shall he also reap. That's where we're at. We're wrapping up Galatians here. We got about one more week in that. Then we're going to start a series in Bible prophecy. There's no greater, more timely message for today than God's revelation of end times. So that's what's going on at the church. Let's get into this message now. This is a part two of this message. I believe this was called Infallible Proofs, as Dr. Luke called it here. Acts chapter 1. For more info, again, on me, Paul at WGODradio.com. That's how to get in touch with me. Ask me any questions. Paul at WGODradio.com. Or leave any comments. The app is WGOD Radio. It's a free download. Many of these programs are uploaded up there as well. So those are some of the ways to follow along with us. I encourage you, make the Word of God a central part of your life. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Here's part two now of this message, Infallible Proofs.
The proof is the testimony of these eyewitnesses. So if you're looking for proof, read the Bible. It's written by eyewitnesses. Pray for ears to hear before you read. Because the preaching of the cross, the Bible says, is foolishness to them that are lost. But to us that are saved is the power of God. Okay, back to Luke's testimony. Acts verse 3. To whom he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. There's got to be so many infallible proofs that we could come up with. Being seen by them during 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. All right, it's been 40 days. He died 40 days ago. Now he's leaving. Now it's going to be a 10-day wait for perhaps the most extraordinary event ever to take place in the history of this world. Am I right? It's coming in 10 days. Now being assembled, verse 4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water. Notice the next word. But he's making a distinction between John's baptism and the Holy Spirit's baptism. They're not the same thing. John's baptism doesn't save you. It's the Lord's baptism, the Spirit baptism is what saves you. That's what makes you born again, not being baptized by John in the water. John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. John's baptism, again, water baptism, preparing people, like the prophecy said, preparing people for the Son of God and his baptism. People needed to repent first. Same as the command we read at the end of Luke. You need a soft and tender heart prior to you able to receive Jesus Christ and hear the gospel. It's like you're baptized with John, then your house is swept clean, and now you're ready to receive Christ. At least once your house is swept clean, you better receive him then. Because Jesus warns that after you've been touched by God and you finally got remorse in your heart now, and remorse for your sins, and you repent and don't make a decision to receive Jesus Christ and follow him, then you better look out. Because the demon that used to live inside of you is going to grab seven of his buddies more wicked than he was. And then that demon's coming back to your house. And he's coming back mad. Madder than a hornet. This is the work that he does in you. Baptism with the baptism of John. Your heart is soft. The Lord reveals your sins to you. You turn and repent of your sins. Now you've got no demon tormenting you. Now you've got to make a decision for Jesus. Maybe you're there right now. And that's the place where you're at. Where prior to communion over here, you got things right with God, but you haven't received Jesus Christ yet. See, you're able to think now because God chased that demon out of you. And now you're clean. Now you can hear from God. Now you can repent. Now is the time for you to receive Jesus Christ while you can still think clearly. It's like you've come down from the narcotics. The alcohol's wear it off. The drugs have wear it off. Now you can see clearly, just like the prodigal son who came to his senses. Now you've come to your senses. You got to make a decision for Jesus. Maybe not here, maybe someone on the radio. Maybe you've come to your senses now, and now you can hear from God. Now, today is the day of salvation. And if you don't do that, Jesus said, woe to that man. Because his grace just chased away a demon, and now that demon's going to come back. And he's going to come back real mad. And I don't think he's going to leave again if he comes back. I don't think he's going to leave again. So this is what John did. And Jesus said it. John's baptism was first. John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now we're going to find out in chapter 2 what that entails. Verse 6, therefore when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons in which the Father has put in his own, really it's authority. King James says power, but these are two different Greek words here. If you got the King James Version, verse 7 and verse 8, you'll see the same word. You notice that? Power, if you have a King James? It's not for you to know times and seasons the Father has put in his own power, but you will receive power. No, those are two different words. The first is the word exousia. It means authority. The second is the word dunamis, where the word dynamite comes from. Big difference in words. Let me read it again. It is not for you to know times and seasons that the Father has put in his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be witnesses. Witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea. It's like a compass. And he's going out. He's like focusing out on a camera or a telescope. You will be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea. And Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But think of that word for power. I love that word, dunamis. You will receive, he's saying, spiritual dynamite once the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You see, this is the awesome little secret that Satan does not want you to know, that you possess spiritual dynamite. You are a walking smart bomb. Like those video games, smart bombs. You know, you go around all the enemies, you know, you save up, you hit that button, and wham! That's what you are. That's the dirty little secret Satan does not want you to know. You are a walking smart bomb. You have got Holy Ghost power. Dynamite is what you are. John said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's why Satan hasn't crushed you yet. Because he can't. You've got authority over him. And you are just, you are loaded with dynamite. Imagine being loaded with dynamite and hearing from God. Imagine being loaded with dynamite and doing what he says. You see, you can go around blowing off your own dynamite and you'll hurt yourself. But when you, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Take a dynamite-filled Christian that hears from God, that does what he says. Look out, world. It's one of my favorite sayings. What can man do to me? Just recognize who you are, church, as a Christian. You will receive dynamite when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Once you turn and repent of sins, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, get baptized like he commands, you are a keg of TNT. You used to be a keg of Molson. Now you're a keg of TNT. That's who you are now. Satan doesn't want you to know that, but Jesus said in John 8:32, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free and end the bondage. Just remember, and I just want you to know, you are a powder keg. Let God pull your trigger. You are the $6 million Christian. God takes your broken down body, replaces your broken down sinful heart, and replaces it with spiritual dynamite. To that I say, yowza. Look out, world. Also here in verse 8, you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The apostles will even fulfill this prophecy and carry this out in the same order that it's given. First, they're witnesses in Jerusalem, which is where they were. Indeed, starting in 10 days. Now, Jerusalem is in Judea. Then Samaria, when we get to chapter 8, when the Holy Spirit falls on the Samaritans, the church sends Peter and John, and they lay hands on them, and they speak in other tongues. You see the progression, just like you said. You'll be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, then Samaria, and verse 4, the uttermost parts of the earth. That you're going to see in chapter 19. When Paul gets to Ephesus and he runs into believers who were baptized, guess what? And guess how? In the name of John. And they were wondering because they were missing something. And Paul said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, we were baptized in the baptism of John. That is, they turned and repented of sin. And that's all that they knew. And Paul recited this very same thing that I bet you he heard from Luke. For John truly baptizes you with water. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, or in the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit. All three are right. Now, verse 9. When he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as ye saw him go into heaven. Spoken some 2,000 years ago, and we still wait today. The world remains on high alert. As I've taught before, this event right here is what puts all of us into the end times and the end of days. Think of the end of days for all you men here. Think of the end of days as a football game. 60 minutes long. My wife will tell you that now. I got her turned on to football. There's actually 60 minutes to a game. At various times, God calls a timeout and stops the clock. And he has, throughout time, as various needful things come to pass, like the Reformation of the Church, the start and birth of the Reformed Church, and then there's halftime. What happens at halftime? There's a marching band. But 60 minutes is still 60 minutes. No matter how many songs the marching band does. I think of marching band, you think of Adolf Hitler and his marching band. The band of hoodlums. And then May 15th, 1948 comes. Israel becomes a nation. What happens? 2-minute warning. That's what we're in now. 2 minutes is 2 minutes, but 2 minutes is never 2 minutes. 2 minutes is exactly 2 minutes. But if your wife says to you, I'm cooking steak, how much time is left? Don't tell her 2 minutes, even though there's 2 minutes. But 2 minutes is never 2 minutes, but it's exactly 2 minutes. 2 minutes can be half an hour. Watch a basketball game, and there's a 40-second clock. 40 seconds is never 40 seconds, but it's always 40 seconds. How can something be exactly 40 seconds and still be 25 minutes? You see, this is how the Apostle John can say, little children, it is the last hour. Because we're in the last hour. Once he went up, and they got a crick in their neck, and they say, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Once that happened, this world went on high alert. And Jesus Christ can come back at any time. At any time. Question is, are you ready? Are you ready for his return? You know, I was thinking, you know, God's running out of timeouts. He's about used all that he had. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at a mill. One will be taken, one will be left. Watch therefore, for you don't know when hour your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and not let his house be broken into. Therefore, here's the commandment, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. And this, watch therefore. Yeah, that's a command too. For you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Matthew 25:13. And this, strive. Hey, that's another command. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will try to get in and will not be able. Listen to this. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand and knock at that door, saying, Lord, Lord, open up. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. But then you'll begin to say, well, we. Then you will begin to say, huh? We ate and drank right in your presence. And he will say, I don't know who you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see all the saints on the inside of the kingdom and you yourselves thrust out. We wait. The church is on high alert. The midnight cry is near, and all, as all the evidence reveals, are you ready for Jesus' return? Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was offered once, not twice, once. He's not going back up on a cross. So Christ was offered one time to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, or the King James says, to those that look for him, he will come again. He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. And this is plain and evident by how you live, not by what you say. You can say anything that comes out of your mouth. That is how do you live? He's coming back a second time. For those that eagerly await him, you demonstrate that by how do you live? You show you eagerly await him by the things that you do in the here and now. By what you do with your time. By what you do with your money. Let's pass that offering plate around again. Surely I got two more dollars. By this scripture verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You show you eagerly await him by the things that you will not do. Like live a life of sin anymore. Or like the man in the parable in Matthew 24 that didn't expect Jesus to come back in his lifetime. So he started to take advantage of those that were under his authority. That would be like John Newton. You know who John Newton was? He wrote the song Amazing Grace. That would be like John Newton saying to himself, nah, where's the promise of his coming? I'm going to go back into the slave trade like I used to. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound it was back then. Now let's wrap this up. I mean, you see how ludicrous that is. Let's wrap it up. Let's get ready for Pentecost. Verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. How far is a Sabbath day journey? Mile and a half. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord, in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Pray tell, what do you know about that? Jesus had a family. He had brothers and sisters. But think about it. 120 people in the upper room having a prayer meeting. Where was everyone else? 3.5 years of ministry. All they can gather up there is 120 people. There must have been a Jerusalem ragamuffins game going on in the stadium down the street. 120 people? Where was the 5,000 with the women and children that he fed? Where were the 4,000 and the women and children that he fed? Where were the 9 lepers? Is this all I can come up with? Is 120 and one of them is his mother? We won't count her. 119 people after 3.5 years of ministry. Actually, zero would have missed it. Like I said earlier, you prove your walk by how you live. After all the people Jesus ministered to throughout all that time, all they can find is 120 people, and I look around here at this church, and I don't feel too bad now. I don't feel too bad. There's 25 gluttons for punishment here. Who keep coming back. Lord only knows why. I'll tell you what, we'll stop here for the day. We'll pick it up with the fate of Judas Iscariot next week. And on how they chose a replacement for him. At the death of the apostle, how do you choose another apostle? That's the only time we're going to find in the Bible that men had to choose an apostle. They actually had to gamble to figure it out. As they chose straws. Let's pray.
He believed that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Once was lost, I walked away. The road was dark, I could not see. My hope was gone, the pain was real. But your mercy, you saw my steps. You felt my fears, you heard my cries, you caught my tears. Arms open wide, you ran to me with your mercy. Your mercy, your mercy. I stand before my King and bow my heart to sing. You saved me, you raised me, you died so I could live. No greater love than this, your mercy. You give me life beyond the grave. My deepest shame is cast away. You sing a song that covers me. It's your mercy. Your mercy. Your mercy. I stand my King and bow my heart to sing. You saved me, you raised me, you died so I could live. No greater love than this, your mercy, your mercy. Loving kindness leads me to repentance. Your loving kindness leads me to repentance. Lord, let your kindness lead us to repentance. Lord, let your kindness